Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to this video as we continue our series on God's determination. Now, I'm not sure if we have one or two of these videos left, but I think you'll really enjoy it. We're kind of getting right to the point here today of the reason why God cut the covenant with himself on behalf of Abraham. Well, before we get there, number one, we're always wanting you to realize God can be tangible in your life. I like to have this saying, let God come out of the pages of your Bible and get into your life. Very simply, everything you do, everywhere you go, we can experience God. Now, I'm developing this myself. And of course, the patterns, habits, and routines of life work against whether or not God becomes more real to you on a daily basis. We have a lot of patterns, a lot of habits, and a lot of routines that bring us right into a fleshly awareness of the world. Well, we're wanting to turn that around until God becomes real in your life. And of course, then you begin to respond to him, which is faith. Faith is really a response to God. You can find that in his word, that when you read the word, you respond to the word. Don't just hear the word, but be a doer thereof, not deceiving yourselves, James said. So our faith becomes a response, which is answered prayers. And then we get the opportunity to share those testimonies. Wonderful grace stories. We're looking forward to more of you sharing your grace stories. I've got a couple of them in the next couple of videos to share with you. So let's get right into Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible, which is the invitation from Jesus to us to have a relationship with the Father in the same way that he does. And he starts out this way. Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, I want to go to Romans, and we're going to go to Romans in chapter 4 because it's such a good passage here in the Message Bible. So I'm going to read a bunch, but then we'll be right back to immediately talk about the things that we're reading. It goes on to say, so how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did, you say, what new way of looking at things is it? Well, the difference between the law. When men were under the law, then they had to perform according to the law in a specific manner through complete and utter obedience in order for God then to respond to you with his blessing. Well, under the New Testament, we're not talking about lawlessness. We're just talking about Jesus has fulfilled the law so that our relationship with God is something that is through Christ. That just means he's the one that brought the merit of your favor to you. You didn't merit it. Jesus merited all favor and blessing. In other words, he earned it. Because he was sinless. And as a result of his sinfulness and taking your sin and my sin, fulfilling the law on behalf of us, then we get the benefits. We reap the blessing that Jesus obtained for us in his sinlessness. So this is what he's talking about. It's a brand new way. And Paul goes over this constantly. In every book that he writes, why? Because people are stuck in works. They're stuck in the law. Even those who don't know anything about God still have grown up in a very legal system. The early bird gets the worm. You know, no pain, no gain. It's all the effort that man has used to try to get ahead is something that you're going to have to lay down. That doesn't mean you don't have a job. It just means you bring God into your job and your belief in a great job performance Many blessings of finances that come from your job don't have to do with how well you're trying to perform before God. It has to do with you inviting God to be a part of what you do. So it's a brand new way of living. Let's just look and see how it works out here with Abraham. If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. Of course, that's the law. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. Well, this is completely consummated in Jesus Christ, who he did something for us. And his finished work becomes the pinnacle for our success. Because now everything that I deserve is because of what Jesus earned. It's not because of what I earn. It's because of what Jesus earned. I enter into his abundance. And this is the blessing. Amen. This isn't what causes you to want to sin more. This is what causes you to change the way you see yourself and appreciate and want a greater relationship with God. Amen. The goodness of God leads a man to repentance. And so it goes on to say here, if you're a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. But if you see that your job is too big for you, that is something only God can do, and you trust him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and long you worked. Well, that trusting him to do it is what gets you set right with God by God. It's a sheer gift. That famous promise God gave Abraham that he and his children would possess the earth was not given because something Abraham did or would do. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him, which Abraham then entered into when he believed. If those who get what God gives them only get it by doing everything they are told to do and filling out all the right forms properly signed, that eliminates personal trust completely and turns the promise into an ironclad contract. Can you see here that what we've done is we've tried so hard to hear and hear and hear and hear and hear to try to get faith, and we qualify ourselves with whether we have faith, which is whether something is working or whether it's not, and based on how many chapters you're reading and how much prayer time you take, and on and on and on and on goes the list. And we create even new lists, just like the Pharisees did. They created new laws to put ourselves behind the eight ball and make ourselves feel incomplete, inadequate, to actually measure up to feeling worthy or accepted by God to receive from him. Well, that's too much of a burden for us when there's no way we can keep it. We can't do everything perfect in order to merit God's perfect salvation, blessing, healing, or whatnot. All this comes so wonderfully through the perfection of Jesus Christ. And going on, it says this. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God in his way and then simply embracing him and what he does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it. Those who keep the religious traditions and those who have never heard of them. Don't you love that? For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Every single thing that Jesus has done for you is a gift lavished upon you through the perfection and perfect work of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law that you would no longer be under the law for the sake of qualifications. You would be released from the bondage of the law so that you could enjoy the promptings of the Holy Ghost, the experience of walking with God, hearing God, feeling God's presence, enjoying him day in and day out. Folks, this is what Christianity and salvation is about. We're being saved, in a sense, from ourselves so that we can actually experience the wonderful joy that God has in providing for his kids. Let's go on a little bit further. This is just so good. It goes on to say, that's the only way everyone can get sure to get in on, those who have kept religious traditions and those who have never heard of them. For Abraham is father of us all. He is not our racial father. That's reading the story backwards. He is our faith father. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many people. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with the word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not based on what he saw he couldn't do, but based on what God said he would do. Now think about how that would change the way you see yourself, even concerning the healing that God has given you, or the prosperity or the favor for your job that God has given you. You're not trying to perform based on what you can do. You've literally let go, let God, and your confidence is in what he said he would do and has done. That's why the finished work of Jesus, no, it's in past tense. It's not the work that's being finished. It's the finished work of Christ. It's finished. It's done. It's completed so that you can enter into what he's done for you. This is where we thank God, put our trust in him instead of ourselves. This is all a part of covenant. It wouldn't exist unless covenant existed. This is why God didn't cut the covenant with you or me. Because we would break that covenant sure as can be before the sun went down. And the moment we slipped up, the covenant and contract would be annulled. It would be over. But when God cut the covenant with himself, because he could find no one greater, over there in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, what does it tell us? That this covenant cannot be destroyed. It cannot be broken. It is with God and with Jesus, and it's on our behalf. So we enter into it not with performing good works to deserve it. We enter into it by simply knowing that it was done for us perfectly. It's kind of like somebody deposited money in your bank account, and your bank account is just waiting on you to make a withdrawal. But you make a withdrawal with the complete and utter confidence that what you are doing will produce for you the desired result. Folks, we've made it so difficult to walk with God. It seems like we're probably just going to get through this passage and then I'll tell you a story. But the next time we come back, we're going to put this together with what God asked Abraham to do with his son Isaac and how Abraham was able to do it. And honestly, you put yourself into Abraham's position and you almost cringe at what he was asked to do. But he did it based on the covenant, and literally he figured out what was going to happen before it happened based on the covenant. Can't wait to get to that. But notice what it said. You're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. That just simply means you're not going to look at your difficulty, at what the doctor said, at what your bank account looks at, for your determined actions of great confidence in what God has already done for you. What he's done for you doesn't really take faith as much as it takes the boldness to act. Folks, this is so encouraging. I trust you're getting it. This is why God called him our faith father, because even though he was under, you know, an old system back before even the law was established, Abraham didn't try to produce anything within himself. He didn't try to better himself. He just accepted what God said he would do based on God and the covenant he cut with himself. And it goes on then to say he didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us. When we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. You know, this is the reason why we read over in Hebrews 6 and 13 to the end of the chapter. And we saw that this is the hope that goes behind the veil. We're talking about and enters into the covenant or promise of Melchizedek. That's right there in Hebrews chapter 6. And it says, this hope anchors the soul. Folks, there's only one thing that can anchor your soul. And that is a contract with God, cutting a contract with himself called the blood covenant, where Jesus is able to go in behind the veil as your high priest. He presented his blood once for all, then sat down because the job was done, so that he can prove to you that you will never have to be hopeless. That even in a hopeless situation, you don't have to look at what you can't do. You can look at what he's already done for you. And that's the confidence to move forward. And you begin step by step to begin to trust him. I love last night, we were in one of our healing meetings, and one of the guys, Sonny, made a comment. It was just a great comment. You know, as we were talking about the promptings of the Holy Ghost, listening to him. And he said, Jim, he said, I'm beginning, and this will be our testimony here, or our grace story for you right here. Sonny was making a comment. He said that I'm slowly learning that whatever situation I'm in that brings confrontation to me, to listen, to look for what God's telling me to do. And he said, I've been obeying that, and I'm slowly learning to trust that. And I couldn't help but just make comments about that, because everyone, listen, every single time you begin to acknowledge the grace of God, which is everywhere, you begin to draw close to the idea that God's not just in a book giving you information. He's literally in your life wanting to do things that will change your perspective about how you live. Remember the statement, how you do life is how you'll do faith. If your faith isn't working, it goes back to how you do life. It's all in your perspective changing, where God has the upper hand. And when you listen to the promptings of God, like Sonny said, I'm learning now to trust them, and I'm finding out when I do, the end result changes the thing that actually stood looking at me right in the face, telling me it was hopeless. But it changed because I listened to my heart. I listened to the Holy Spirit. Let it be for each one of us, as we look for God in everything we do, we pay attention to what he's saying. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the message. It says, everywhere you go, everything you do, listen for God telling you what to do. Folks, every little nuance of God will bring great results. We're seeing that so much in the lives of people being healed. The little promptings of the Holy Ghost to have us to tell them something that brings about the healing. Let this be an encouragement to you. I do encourage you to bring people to this broadcast here on YouTube, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe so we know who's listening, how many are listening, and can be not only encouraged, but we can encourage others to do so as well. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. And also remember, your grace testimonies are what we're looking for. So go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, which is our email, and you can find it on our website. And you will definitely be able to share with us your stories. We'll share them on this broadcast, and people will be encouraged, and I will too. See you next time.